970 and 97.1 FM.
WATH, Southeast Ohio.
Probably going to impact us a little bit as the day goes by, and tomorrow too. I got a notice on my phone this morning saying thunderstorms likely. Hey, we got a special edition today where, you know, many universities are involved in international events, international education. Let's just call it global affairs. And the head of that very area for Ohio University joins us this morning. Lorna Jean Edmonds is a vice provost of global affairs and international studies, and also kind of a neighbor. And we were talking the other day, we were walking the dogs, and I said, you know what, we should do a show. And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, here it is. So, Lorna Jean, we simply call LJ. That's her preference. And so, Lorna Jean Edmonds, but LJ. LJ, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thank you. I feel very privileged to be here.
Yeah, well, pull that mic just a bit closer. I want to hear a warmer voice.
All right.
There you go.
How's that?
How about that? So, let's see here. You've been on this position, this gig here at Ohio University for 5 years now. 2013 was when you started. But before we get to all of that, let's do a bio. So, where are you from?
Canada.
Canada, whereabouts?
So I was born in Inuvik, and I grew up in Ottawa.
Now, the first one stumped me. Inuvik?
Is in Northwest Territories on the Arctic Ocean.
Okay.
And then I grew up in Ottawa, and then I spent my career in a place called Kingston at Queen's University, and then at the University of Toronto in Toronto, and then at Western University, and then last but not least, Université d'Ottawa, before I had the privilege to be recruited to Ohio.
Well, now, you just whizzed right through that, you know, but was this global thing, internationalism, whatever we want to call it, I may not have the right terms in use, but was that always your first interest?
Yes. I think that the fact that I was born in Inuvik always kind of gave me a strong interest in Indigenous communities, mm-hmm. and particularly in Indigenous health. And then as I sort of pursued my career, it became a global phenomenon in that I pursued first a life sciences degree, and then I did my master's in health administration, and I looked at Inuit health, but I also did it in a global context. And that was really sort of the beginning of me venturing into the global community. And I initially thought that my goal in life would be to work at the World Health Organization. But ultimately, I figured that really the panacea to development is working through higher education with a global lens. And that's where I've landed.
Your family, your parents, tell us about them.
My mom and dad are both deceased now. My mom grew up in Winnipeg, and she was a teacher. My father was in the Navy, and he was a communications specialist. In fact, that's what took us to Inuvik, because he was part of the Cuba crisis, working with the Americans.
Right.
The Canadians were working with Americans, you know, basically keeping an eye on world affairs at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved back to Ottawa, and that's where I grew up.
You were you an only child?
No, I have two brothers. One worked for the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and he was head of the sniper team. And my other brother is a plastic surgeon, still in Kingston. And, I have four children. Two children are my biological children. One is a welder. One is a burgeoning movie producer.
Oh,
wow. To actually move to L.A. shortly. And then I have two other children that are so-called adopted, but they are my children. One is from the Kingston community, where I met him when he was 18. He's now 26 and has a young family. And then my eldest daughter is originally from Kosovo, and she was my translator during the Kosovo crisis, the Balkans war. And I met her almost 20 years ago now, actually. And she's now in Germany, married, and also has a child. So I have quite a diverse family that is also equally global, as is my role in life.
And my family, to some degree, is has that global diversity, too. And not just my immediate family, but even my extended family, my other... Well, anyway, it's just the way it is, and I love it.
Yeah, me too. I think globalization today is really a lived experience. I think we're all responsible for our planet and for, you know, being embracing the world today in a really magical way because, you know, the world is special and it's one big family today. And I think our challenge, and I think that's the challenge at the university and also its opportunity is, you know, how do you embrace this magical place in a way that students and faculty and staff can see the future and see the possibilities and see how we can grow as one community, but at the same time maintain our identities as individuals and as societies. And I think that that's what Ohio strives to offer this community in Appalachia and this community in the United States, and then the vast number of students that I think also have the privilege to coming to Appalachia to experience Ohio University.
I don't know if this is a good example, but in the mid-60s, my best friend, Dan Radcliffe, decided to go to Ohio University upon graduating from Worthington. And his major was music, cellist. And he came down here, but he spent a full year at the Mozarteum in Austria.
Mm-hmm.
But it all counted toward his college experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was the mid to late 60s. My family has a strong allegiance to strong history and whatever with the College of Worcester. They, too, have always been so engaged in things overseas,
mm-hmm.
international education. But that was in the, you know, that we're going way back. But really, there's a number of institutions that weren't that progressive, right?
Yes.
And have become so, but not that far back.
So I would say that Ohio University was one of the architects of internationalization in universities in the United States. It was part of that original story where it brought and established the Center for International Studies that's now over 50, 54, 55 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that leadership at that time, both faculty and administration, I think that saw the vision of universities really branching out in terms of the breadth and scope of opportunities that they want to provide students, both in the at-home academic experience and then also the global opportunities, which for anybody who's taken an international experience, as like your colleague who went to Austria, it's transformative. And, you know, Ohio's vision is to offer a transformative experience and to prepare alumni to be global leaders. And I think it's really throughout its history, it has strived to achieve that. One of our first students was actually Japanese back in 1894. So just imagine that person coming to Appalachia at that time.
Yeah.
And how that, I think, was in many ways the beginning of seeing the world differently from the Athens lens, you know?
For the most part, different departments are assigned to different colleges.
Right.
Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. There's things I wanted to ask you before this.
We can go back and forth.
Sure. So, most of your experience has been in Canada.
Yes and no.
Okay.
I've worked and traveled and visited over 66 countries. And so, although I worked in a university, I spent between 3 and 6 months of my year working in another country. I worked in the area of disability and development for 14 years. And that was, again, a very transformative time in my career because I worked in, very mature societies with economic challenges,
mm-hmm.
Advanced societies that were not as mature, in conflict zones, in refugee communities, but always working with and from the perspective of disabled people informing us of how they want us, how they want society to create the conditions for them to succeed and be the kind of people that they want
to be. I'm still worried
about
how we do that here.
Well, again, you know, it's a global question. So speaking to today, it's about globalization. It's not about over there or here.
Yeah.
It's not a we-they scenario. It's an all-of-us story. And so when you look at Ohio University in Appalachia, you know, we see Ohio value is global value. We see Appalachia and all of the innovation that is going on in our own rural community. You know, we're known both as a university and as a community as a center of excellence in terms of innovation and entrepreneurship from a rural perspective. Our president and our mayor received an award this year for town gown cooperation, which in today's world, cooperation is at the core of globalization. You know, we need to change the lexicon from conflict negotiation to how do we actually work together and embrace diversity and understand each other in a way that we can make decisions and make them collectively. President Nellis has brought in to our conversation is to, you know, increase the opportunity for all of us to engage in challenging questions. And I think that also speaks to us learning how do we have conversations where there is great opposition, but how do we work our way through them and work through them together? And I think a university in many ways is the bedrock of providing that foundation, both for students and faculty, but also for the broader community that's fortunate to have a university in their backyard, like we have in Athens and Appalachia.
Yes, indeed. So getting back to sort of simple things, Canada versus United States, and I don't mean versus, but I mean comparing the two. Again, most of your experience had been up there. As a citizen. Now you've been living in Athens 5 years. Your thoughts?
Well, I feel I'm very glad I'm living in Athens at this point in time, and this point in time in history in the United States, because as a Canadian or as somebody who comes from another country, you know, again, I'm very privileged to see the greatness of this country and the people and the individuals and just what a special place this community is and the United States is. I think what we're experiencing right now is what many countries are experiencing, and that is challenging politics and how are we embracing it. But I think it's really a privilege to be here and just see how much we have to offer each other and how we, more than ever, need to find ways to cooperate and see beyond the boundaries and realize that, you know, talent is borderless and or talent, ideas are mobile and talent is borderless. Like, we really have to realize that, you know, we got to get beyond the idea that there are these borders, and we need to enable the flow of talent so that our countries prosper. You know, we know, for example, in the state of Ohio and in this country, at least 1 in 5 jobs are related to trade. You know, our immigrant community just in the state of Ohio produces something like 35,000 companies and 130 or more jobs for people in Ohio. You know, they are major contributors. And in essence, North America is in many respects an immigrant historical experience, and we keep drawing on that immigration to keep us strong and keep us vibrant.
When this whole topic broke in the campaigns, you know, I was really disturbed. We've always been a country that welcomed folks, and in that diversity that has grown out of that, all these mixed cultures and people that formerly their roots had been elsewhere, and it made us so cool. And then now there's an effort to stop or slow it down or limit it. You know, it just drives me nuts. I understand there's procedures, and I want procedures followed. And I don't think the procedures are unreasonable. So I get that point about the illegal thing. But, well, anyway. It's so complicated. Listen, So
I think if I could just add,
please,
you know, from a factual point of view, by 2032, this country is going to require, in order to maintain our quality of life and our population, we're going to need people from other countries to do that. And so many respects, I think one hopes that this is a phase we're going through. But, you know, again, speaking to the universities and their role in society and the role of Ohio University, and, you know, I think we have emphasized over and over again that you are welcome here. All of us are welcome here. And we're trying to maintain that overarching vision of, you know, a universal policy agenda in the United States that will sustain some of the challenges the country is facing right now. And with time will come opportunities for all parts of the world to see the value of mobility of talent that meets every different country's needs at different points in time. And I think that will also happen here again.
I've been afforded the opportunity to live in many cities in this nation, most of them large. An exception, Wyoming, where things are kind of small. Most recently, Hawaii, Honolulu. Now, I had this opportunity to buy a station, and I did it with my parents, and we bought this 45 years ago. Now, Athens, Ohio, I visited it twice, once to see this young man that was my best friend, and another time to see Lori Lee Schaefer, who later became Miss America, and she was a good friend from Columbus. Anyway, I really didn't know Athens. 45 years have passed. I am so bullish on Athens. I love it. I don't think I could have made it in Chillicothe. I don't think I could have made it in Marietta. Name any other similar-sized city. It is this campus. It is this OU philosophy that makes this place special. And, you know, all the things that they also wished weren't the case, like it's a party school. You know, these things that they're trying to downgrade the image of. I think those are all advantages, as long as you have the academics way up there, and we do.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, what's wrong with being a great social thing if you can also be a great academic thing? Well, anyway, so I'm bullish on Athens. Okay, so I'm working on you now.
I think Bobcats are bullish on actually Athens, but also all of our regional campuses. You know, I think the value of Ohio is that it's an access university, and we have different paths to enlightenment for students, particularly students who otherwise wouldn't have had the opportunity to go to university. And I think that's a really important mission that is so core to Ohio's global vision, is that having students from all of these various communities have an opportunity to have a global education. You know, they excel just like anybody else. And so this is an incredible opportunity. And when I was applying for the job, I tell this story often because I didn't know anything about this area. I didn't know anything about Athens or Ohio University. So on the plane ride into Columbus, I asked people on the plane, was anybody an alum or a student or worked at Ohio University? Well, I am telling you, the response was something I had never experienced in my career. Mm-hmm. This ownership over their
pride.
They were Bobcats. I just saw this vision of respect and understanding and an experience that was so transformative in their lives that they hold this whole university and community dear. And it's the same when we were in Indonesia. It was the same when we were in Malaysia, in Ecuador. I was just with a colleague, Bozi Mapoza, from the Center for International Studies, and a history professor, Asan Sar, and Matthew Shaftel, the dean of the College of Fine Arts, with colleagues Pascal and Zelma, who led this concert in Ghana. And we had alumni events, and again, the fever, the virus, whatever you want to talk about, they're all wearing their global T-shirts. I've never been on a campus where 50% of the students buy their own uniform. I mean, it's unique. It's special. And I think it's because of the values of inclusion and shared governance and a desire for students to succeed no matter what path they choose.
You know, Columbus has two airports. One is kind of like for, I don't know, Allegiant takes off from it. It's Rickenbacker, former military base. And my wife, I took her up to catch a flight, and I was wearing my Sports Administration shirt, right? And all of a sudden, someone goes, "Oh, you!"
No,
it's the and, same of course, with me. Four other people responded with, "Oh, yeah."
Yeah. I was in an elevator in Kuala Lumpur wearing my OU pin, and this gentleman said, "My wife's a graduate of the College of Business Executive MBA program that they ran in the 70s and 80s. I mean, you know, this is...
And they
this
still
is,
have that going.
Yeah, no, it's not running right now, although we actually have two students in the College of Business here now. But and in fact, President Nellis and Dean Sherman and our colleagues will be visiting Malaysia this year because we're having a major event with John Sabraw. I don't know if you've met him.
Yes.
But he and Guy Riefer and from Engineering and Rural Action, you know, have come up with this new paint that is a sustainable use of the mining debris that pollutes our waters.
And we did a show on this.
Yeah, well, so he's our guest keynote speaker in Malaysia. And, you know, we're going to have over 1,000 people coming to this event. That's just the profile that
That's
Ohio
crazy.
Had. Well, Ohio has
crazy
such
good.
A profile globally that we can draw this kind of community. And as you know, John and the work of his colleagues with him is, you know, it's one of our... It's one of our areas that we're making a world of difference. What can I say, you know?
Well, 15 minutes ago, I started saying, what college are you actually associated with? Now, you are, by title, the Vice Provost for Global Affairs and International Studies. And LJ, what college are you actually assigned to?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. So, in my academic hat, I'm a full professor in the Department of Interdisciplinary Health Studies in the College of Health Sciences and Professions.
So Randy Leidy's gang.
That's right. But mm-hmm.
I'm on his advisory board.
Excellent. And again, another one of our examples of our many vibrant colleges.
Yep.
And then I'm the director of the Center for International Studies, which has over 290 students, undergrad and grad and certificate programs right now.
Now, are those inbounds or outbounds or a combination?
We have, domestic and international students, you mean? Yeah. We have, in terms of the graduate program, I think we have one of the only most international graduate interdisciplinary studies in international studies in the United States. Right now, I think we have maybe 30 countries represented amongst about 120-some students. And
no,
then we have,
I want you to repeat that because that's a whale of a point.
Yeah, it's
say
what
it again.
It defines Ohio University.
Ohio University is one of the only.
One of the only graduate programs where the vast majority of our students draw from almost 30 countries at any given time. And this year we've had an increase in students internationally. We also are well funded by sponsorship programs, so it's a very highly respected program. We have area studies in Africa, Asia, and Latin America, and then we specialize in international development studies and communication and development studies. And our students are really quite distinctive, and our faculty are excellent. Our undergraduate program doubled in its entry level students this year, so we're really excited about that. We have about another 100 students. Some of these students are the top students in the university. Our students excel. They get fantastic awards, and they go on to have great careers. We're very proud of our alumni. And I think that's also an important thing to keep in mind is the, you know, we have 260-plus alumni, and between 7,000 and 10,000 of them are working all over the world. And, for example, One of our College of Business grads is the chairman of one of the largest petroleum industries, Petronas, in Malaysia. David Crane is a grad of history and African studies, and he played a significant role in addressing the Sierra Leone crisis, mm-hmm. which has resulted in peace since then. And he comes to our campus often. We have a colleague, a grad of our ComDev program, Nana, I can't remember her last name, I wish I could, but she's leading a major competition on math to raise the profile of science and math in Ghana. And in Africa alone, we have over 1,000 alumni, and in Ghana alone, we have over 350 alumni.
When I first arrived in Athens, we're jumping around, and that's good. Doesn't hurt on this topic. I quickly became familiar with a thing called AFIS.
Yes.
Athens Friends of International Students. And so my wife and I threw our hats into the ring or whatever the expression is and said, sure, we'd love to become familiar with somebody. And so a young man from Kano, Nigeria, was here to get advanced degrees. And he eventually brought his wife over. While she was here, she went to Hocking and got a nursing degree. They had two children while they were here. The families intermingled. He then returned, having graduated and so on and so forth with his doctoral degree, returned to Kano, became the head of that Union Carbide plant, right, that where we had a kind of a disaster later on, which he wasn't blamed for or anything. Accidents do happen. But, you know, that's just one example. And does AFIS still exist?
Yes, it does. In fact, they're having a potluck picnic on, I think, September 22nd for our international students.
Well, you see,
and
now,
yes, they...
You need to send or have somebody on your staff send us notices of those things.
We can do that.
So that we can promote this, because there are people in this community who remember what it was before, maybe, and might like to get engaged and thought it had disappeared. And, you know, things goes in ebbs and flows in terms of publicity and all sorts of things.
I think that's another really nice observation, and I'm glad you mentioned it. The Athens community has also been very vibrant globally. The Friends of India, for example, you know, they are very active with the Rotary, with their own resources, and they commit resources both to Ohio University and our students and community to have both domestic, international, and global experiences. We have the Gawande family that has made a significant contribution to a chair in philosophy and religion, and also to a college where Ram Gawande grew up. And we have Athens members of the Athens community who've also contributed and visited central India. We have faculty members who take students every year or every other year to this very special college. So, you know, we do have all of these experiences. I don't know if you've heard of the Tanaka family, but again, they were part of... Dr. Tanaka was a professor in physics who came from Nagoya and then helped us establish our relationship with Chubu University. And Ohio University recently named one of its residents after him and his wife because they were so involved in the community here. They were also involved in disability issues locally and in Japan. And they really brought to their home many students from Japan, and our relationship with Japan through Chubu, and also the fact that we have... we actually, for the last couple of years, the Athens High School actually taught a course or a language in Japanese, or taught Japanese language, I should say. And we have Japanese language as core, and we have many students from Japan, from Chubu, studying here. So you can see how our community has, again, you know, we're kind of weaving in that town gown relationship that has kept this global face at Ohio that is, I think, gives that distinctiveness to this region and to our university. We're a truly global university that has invested significantly in its faculty and a vibrant student community. And
well, we've had campuses in Botswana. Suddenly, names are disappearing, but I think of Max Evans and people like that that have been over there. So
we have rich relationships, like you say, in Botswana. We have a formidable number of alumni in Ghana, and we're reaching out to the GAM. I was just there. I also went to the Gambia and Senegal. Ecuador, through Mario Grijalva, who's a professor in the
Mario's college. A great friend.
Yeah, well, again, through his leadership and through the leadership of colleagues at the university, where it used to be him and a couple of faculty and a number of students that used to go. Now I think we've had, in the last 3 or 4 years, more than 30 faculty go to Ecuador.
And he's wanted me to go, too, because as a youth, I was involved in a
program. We would love you to go. So, you know, we've seen, like, for example, Dean Titsworth, the Scripps College of Communication. He's really embraced. Again, he's now moving forward with a new agenda in Ecuador, in addition to Colombia. We have a long-standing history in Malaysia that's very vibrant. I mentioned Japan. We also have a 25-year history of working with Leipzig. And if you think of 25 years, that's when the Berlin Wall came down. And, you know, what our strength of Leipzig is that we went at that time, and unlike other universities, we went back. And so this rich relationship that was started by a couple of colleagues in, again, the Scripps College of Communication has led to a long-standing relationship that we have today, and we have students going back and forth. In fact, we have a professor and a couple of students working with the American Studies program on war and peace studies at Leipzig at this moment. So, you know, we have this sort of global engagement, this movement of students and faculty around the world in a number of areas that, in many ways, what I see with President Nellis and our new leadership is this desire to leverage our diversity and inclusion, leverage our global face by, you know, looking at our excellence and our past and then saying, you know, how do we move forward with this incredible vibrancy that we have in our Athens and regional campuses?
You know, this is all the presidents I've known going back to Claude Sewell have had this interest, but it seemed in Rod, our most recent past presidency, you know, diversity is such an important thing.
It is.
Well, so I thought, you know, well, our next guy is going to have, you know, it may not be quite as much a focus. Mercy, am I wrong? You know, Dwayne Nellis is all about it. And he has taken it a step further now. So it's exciting.
Yeah, I think he's building both a lived experience and an academic base to better understand and to embrace it, so that students graduate, they're confident and competent to work in a diverse community. And I think that's our challenge and our opportunity.
Gigi?
Yes, she's our newcomer, and we're very excited to have her here. And again, we have Shaden Jalali, who's our new executive vice president and provost. We're very excited to have him join our leadership team. So I think, you know, we're leveraging our past, because we have a very rich past and we have this new future. But I think what you're seeing is that so when I look at our global strategy, what we learned when we did our consultations is that diversity, inclusion, and fostering cooperation were core to our challenges.
Those four are slower.
So diversity, inclusion, and fostering cooperation.
Okay.
But doing it and recognizing, though, that excellence at home is the bedrock. You know, you're only as good here as you can be. If you're going to ask for equality around the world, you have to build that equality on your campus and in your community, and you have to educate others to learn it. And I think, you know, that's what we're striving to achieve. So it's an exciting time to be at Ohio, and faculty, I think, are also excited to be engaged. You know, we talk about the lived experience of cooperation. You know, President Nellis is really promoting a shared governance agenda where he's involving our students, he's involving our faculty, he's involving our staff. We're all participating in, in understanding his vision and then helping him to move it forward, depending on our collective responsibilities. You know, it's a very exciting time. And as you know, the Vice Provost for Global Affairs and as the Director for the Center for International Studies, where this history of internationalization kind of began, when you see this being mainstreamed across the university and into the regional campuses, and I do want to mention the regional campuses, because one of the visions of the regional campuses was a recognition that it's hard for them to have international students because they don't have residences, and also many of their students can't afford to travel abroad. And so they created what's called the Collaborative Online International Learning Program. And what this does is this allows them, faculty, to cooperate with faculty in other countries to teach courses together and engage students from different countries on similar projects. And this is actually now being adopted at the Athens campus. And it's, again, it's something that I think what will help us do is it increases our profile of the globe on our campuses in our classroom. And students start to meet, and faculty actually start to meet students in other countries. And I think it not only excites them about the world and gives them an opening of there's much more to the world than just here, but it also, I think, will incentivize them to say, I want to now visit that friend I made, you know? Because core to globalization and core to the university are the friendships that we make. You know, it's our alumni network. It's the partners that we have. It's the students who, in their first couple of weeks, make long-lasting friends that, you know, they keep and then they do business with, and they are the entrepreneurs of the world. They're the ones who build our trade agenda. They're going back to music. You know, music is so cultural. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing today embracing, you know, African music combining with American music and creating new music that is different and equally exciting. You know?
I'm going to tell a little high school story, but 4 or 5 years I served as the senior class advisor at Athens. They have a thing at the end of the school year called Senior Follies. It's a bunch of skits. Some of them are very sarcastic. Some of them are very humorous. Some of them are very talented. But the point is, everybody in the class participates. Well, you know, in any campus, college, high school, whatever, you've got different factions. You know, you've got the athletes, you've got the rednecks, forgive the term, you've got the townies, you've got these different factions who, for some reason or other, think they're not supposed to mix it up. But in that show, they all came together, and suddenly they said, you know, that guy, I've never known him, but he's cool. Or that gal is awfully talented. I wish I had gotten to know her years before this. Now, why did I bring that up?
Well, maybe it's about, you know, students getting to know students from all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's, again, the opportunity. If I look at...
Move that mic just in front of you.
If I look at how, you know, the opportunity that is really transformative, in addition to getting an excellent education on campus, mm-hmm. you know, to stand out from apart from everybody else in the world, there's maybe three things that students should be seriously thinking about. Their friendships from the 109 countries mm-hmm. where students come from on our campus. And, you know, each student and each country is distinct. And they're all like the people, the kids you just mentioned, you know, and they find out we're all people. Secondly is learning another language. And, you know, what that does is it starts to make you appreciate the cultural diversity and the opportunities that speaking another language opens for you.
Right.
Particularly, no matter what field, whether you want to be a nurse, an entrepreneur, or in, as you say, in fine arts. And then third is the opportunity to study away. Be it a global question in Appalachia, across the United States, or the 194 other countries around the world where you can find your academic or personal interests in another country that will just give you a better lens, not only of that other country and the opportunities there, but it also makes you reflect on your own country and how special and distinct we are here. And I'm also reminded, you know, that as you mentioned at the beginning, you're bullish about Appalachia. Appalachia is one of the most beautiful places in the world. And sometimes you have to leave it and come back to it and to appreciate it. And so these transformational opportunities are really, you know, they're really expansive in terms of also just creating an appreciation that, you know, friendships are central to global peace.
Our guest this morning is Lorna Jean Edmonds. Most people know her as LJ. She is Vice Provost for Global Affairs and International Studies here at, of course, Ohio University. Well, I first of all, one thing we sort of came across is that APHIS is still alive, so let us build that up some more, okay? Let us help you promote that. Global relations, global diversity, I'm not sure how well we've covered that, but we are a leader in so many ways, historically even, going back 50-plus years. What are your goals? What would you like to do yet that has not been done?
I think...
You know, maybe everything's great and we just keep doing it.
Well, let's say everything is great, but there's more potential. For example, you know, I think the president would look at, can we have more students from more diverse communities around the world and across the country, mm-hmm. and from diverse backgrounds, you know, minority groups. That would add significantly to the vibrancy of our conversation. Are we making sure that we're offering access to the scope of global opportunities that foster friendships with other students from around the world?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see the COIL program expand.
What was it called?
The Collaborative Online International Learning Program expand, okay. Because that, I think, is an enabling, you know, it creates the conditions for students to learn more about the world in a really easy way. You know, our faculty are keen to advance their research agenda on the global scale. You know, discovery is global. Innovation and creativity is global. So being able to create the opportunities for our faculty to bring more graduate students to work with them internationally, I think that would also be an area that we would want to explore and leverage some of the relationships that we have, mm-hmm. you know, on the continent of Africa and in Asia and in Latin America, you know, and even in Canada, for example, you know, I think there's a lot that every part of the world, Europe, you know, we really need to kind of explode our opportunities. The other thing that we would like to do is we want to increase our visibility. We want to ensure that people know more about Ohio University and why they should choose this institution as the place to come and get that global experience, no matter what discipline.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. Name a couple other colleges or universities that are also good. We're great. But name a few others that are cool.
That's, you know, that's like a million-dollar question. Universities are very distinct places. And so I'm hesitant to say that or to compare and contrast other universities. Universities are great and different for great and different reasons. And what Ohio offers, I think, is a phenomenal educational experience, vibrancy in distinct research areas, and an access mission that is second to none here for students all over the world.
Years ago, they talk about peer institutions, you know,
yeah.
And to my amazement, this is probably 6 or 7 years ago, I finally said, well, what is the most peer-like institution to Ohio University?
I don't know.
And the answer was, I don't know if it's University of Washington or Washington State, but it's in Walla Walla, Washington.
Yeah, see, sometimes it's so discipline-oriented,
Didn't expect that. I thought they'd say, well, one of the Mac schools, you know?
See, I have worked in 5 universities, and I have visited hundreds of universities
sure.
around the world. And, you know, we all offer students something distinctive. Sometimes it's the faculty member.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's the discipline. Sometimes it's the fact that it is an access institution or it's a research-intensive university. Sometimes it's the subject area. You know, I think that's the beauty today is that we have thousands of universities from which our students can choose. And Ohio, I think, again, is distinct in that it gives students a truly strong foundation in 10 colleges and centers and schools, you know, across most of the disciplines that are very solid, very rich, very vibrant programs. And our students graduate, they do extremely well. And unlike many other universities, we have this alumni community that is second to none. So I think that speaks to the kind of experience that Ohio offers.
Forgive my phone.
You know, like I think of our, you know, President Nellis introduced our honors program this year as part of his excellence agenda. And it builds on our honors tutorial college program, which is, again, one of the top programs in the country. And, you know, what that does is it allows students from more disciplines to showcase the excellence in the different colleges of what they're able to pursue as individuals without necessarily having to be in the HTC program. I think this is all good because it allows students to excel in the areas that they wish to excel. I spoke to the undecided in University College, of which it's one of our, if it's not our, I think it actually is our largest college. But I kind of commended the students for having the courage to say I'm undecided. So they get to select and be open-minded and find their path to enlightenment without scripting themselves in a college for which they may not actually be the best place. And I certainly urge them to, while they're in University College, to, you know, learn another language, have a global opportunity, and be sure to network with students from all of the different countries in the world so that you truly graduate
in our last
global network.
In our last 3 minutes, personal stuff, like what are your hobbies?
My hobbies. Well, I have a new dog.
Yeah.
I think that's my hobby. And I would have to say I have 2 grandchildren, and my children are really very much my hobby.
Are they nearby at all?
One's in Germany, and 2 are in Canada, and my 3rd is moving to LA shortly, I believe. So,
that's not nearby.
Well, it's close enough. I can drive to, and Columbus Airport's only an hour away.
Yeah.
And there's no traffic, so it's actually very accessible. But
neat.
No, Ohio's a good place for me. And, you know, we're able to realize our global vision in many facets. So it's been a real honor to be part of the leadership team here. And
dare I assume that hockey is a passion for you?
It's not a passion for
okay.
me, but, yeah. No.
What Canadian is, well, we'll just pass that by. Anyway, so.
It's a passion for many Canadians. It's a passion for my parents.
Yeah.
That helps.
That's, let's follow up and do some more on this down the road, eh?
Happily, yeah.
Eh? How
I
about
say
that?
Happily.
I do say that all the time.
I say out and about. That's how people know
I'm
Canadian.
It.
I don't usually say eh,
yeah.
But I do say out and about. I do have a couple of sayings that people would recognize immediately as being Canadian.
But yeah, but it's not as thick as some I've heard.
Yeah.
By any
but
means.
I'm a proud Canadian to be part of the Ohio Appalachia experience.
Lorna Jean Edmonds, Vice Provost for Global Affairs and International Studies, better known as LJ. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. And we'll do some more down the road. We are 970.
The Athens County Game of the Week returns Friday on Power 105 when the Chum Tomcats travel to Tupper's Plains to face the Eastern Eagles. Connor Wright carried the ball 13 times for 147 yards and a touchdown to lead the Tomcats to a 35-0 victory over Belfry last week. The Eagles, meanwhile, fell to 0-2 on the season after falling to Caldwell last Thursday. Friday night's TVC Hawking Showdown between Trimble and Eastern can be heard live on Power 105 with pregame at 7:15 and kickoff at 7:30.
Owner-operator truck drivers, Schneider is offering a new type of lease-on opportunity. Run your own business hauling mostly no-touch LTL freight in full truckload shipments, picking your own schedule. Earn up to $1.20 per mile in revenue, plus a limited-time lease-on incentive up to $5,000. Schneider also offers lease-on options for van truckload, tanker, and port dray owner-operators. Learn more and lease on at Schneider.com. That's SchneiderOwnerOperators.com.
Come join the team of transit drivers. Athens Public Transit, a division of HABCAP, is looking for people with Class B CDL with passenger and air brake endorsement. Full-time and part-time positions are available. Full-time includes benefits package. Hours include day, eve, and late-night shifts. Buses run Monday through Saturday, no Sundays. Call 740-592-2727. For more information, visit HABCAP.org or AthensTransit.org. Athens Public Transit is looking forward to working with you.
Well, let's see here. 30 seconds remain, and 83 degrees is what we have outside. They say it'll climb up not as high as yesterday, which was 92 or 93, but to 88. But we also have... well, the likelihood of some precipitation is... what is it? Hurricane Gordon, formerly Gordon, is kind of, you know, curving up in our direction. So some precipitation in the next day or two is likely, as well as today. It's 10 o'clock. See you tomorrow.